Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you, Lord, for, again, the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence tonight. We ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you. Lord, that you would be highly exalted and lifted up and in our lives drawn closer to you, that we might understand more about what it means to abide in you and how you want to use us to be the light of the world and to be the salt of the earth, that souls might be saved and, Lord, discipled for your honor and glory. May you give us understanding and wisdom tonight. Bless and build Northwood Baptist Church and all your churches, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Fellowship with God, or the best witness for God. The best witness for God. These things here, both of these titles, they run together because the best, well, let me just say it like this. Many during the Lord's earthly ministry could have witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ. They seen him, they heard about him, right? Pilate could have witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ, but it wouldn't have been a good witness, would it? Because he didn't know him personally. Listen, the Pharisees could have witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ, but they really wouldn't have witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ because they didn't believe him. They rejected him. The Sadducees as well, that didn't believe in the resurrection, who greatly erred because they did not understand that God was the God of the living, not of the dead, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so the Lord told them, you do greatly err because you don't understand, you don't read the scriptures correctly. The scribes, they penned down the scriptures. They could have witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ, but they really would not have been a good witness. So who did God call to be witnesses? Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who had an intimate relationship with the Lord. And listen, if you would consider, now we're talking about being a witness for somebody in a good way, in the behalf of somebody. The best witness, you would think, in a marital relationship would be the spouse, right? If the wife wanted to have a good witness and the husband, you know, loved his wife and, you know, had compassion for his wife, he would be a good witness. I mean, he would know her better than anybody else, and vice versa. The wife would know the husband better than anybody else. And as long as there was a good, healthy relationship, you would get the right kind of a good witness, right? You know all the ins and outs, all the intricates, all the ups and downs and all the growing that other people don't get to do or experience outside of that kind of a relationship. Well, here's the good news. Listen, God wants us to be witnesses of His great grace that He's given to us because of the experience that we have with Him. What's that experience? Well, God revealed to you somehow, right, one day, that you were a sinner condemned and already you were born that way. People think, well, what makes a sinner? Well, people that sin. Well, that's true. That's true. But here's a better truth. If you never sinned, you'd still be a sinner because we're born that way. If you never sinned, you still, people think, well, why am I going to hell? Why is God judging me? Not because of what you've done, although that would be an outward expression of what the problem is on the inside. But the reason why we're condemned already, Jesus said, is because we were born sinners. We were born in our sins and we need the righteousness of God to change us. Let me say that again. We need the righteousness of God to change us from condemned to redeemed. Amen. And God, listen, those are the redeemed are the ones that have the greatest joy. Peter was a redeemed one. Did Peter have any trials in his life? Didn't he? Boy, howdy, right? So listen, forget about this nonsense the world wants to tell us. Well, if you were a Christian, well, if I'm a Christian, I want you to know something. God's working on me, amen? I have understandings that God wants to bring me into. And so tonight, listen, let's approach this portion of Scripture brand new. Set aside all the good things that you've learned about this text, but because God wants to give us another truth, amen, another revelation that you and I might understand better how to be the best witness, amen, for God, or listen, to have fellowship with the Lord. Because when we talk about fellowship, we're talking about an involved relationship where we're involved with God, and he's not just at a distance. We are involved. He's working on us. We're yielding to him, and we're experiencing his work in our lives. And so that way, we you get to know the Lord better. Oh, this is what you mean, God. Listen, amen. The moment we ever get to the place where we can't learn, you won't grow. Amen? We won't grow. If we ever get to the place to where we think God can't show us anything more than what he's already shown us, really? Really? How can that be? How can that be? God, who knows things that, boy, oh boy, listen, if we had the time to study everything there is to learn on planet Earth, that would take more than a lifetime, wouldn't you say? I mean, everything about all the sciences, that would take a lifetime. Well, God goes way beyond all of that. And in our relationship, God wants to show us some great and mighty things. So let's consider three thoughts tonight very quickly. A faithful witness, the purpose of a faithful witness, and the credibility of a faithful witness. So look at the first three verses again here. And we're just going to take a quick note here of this faithful witness. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. So that's one way, right? You hear it first, and then which we have seen with our eyes and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. You know what they're saying? That is an interrelationship, an interworking, a personal relationship that they had with the Lord through salvation, just like you and I have that opportunity to intermingle with the things of God and with God himself, that he might expound and give us understanding on what we've been given in our eternal life. So is John a little bit excited about telling the believers? He is. You know why he's excited about that? Because he wants us to have, by the way, God wants us, and John through the Holy Spirit wants us also to have the same joy that he is enjoying with God. So verse 2, he says, for the life was manifested and we have seen it. God wants to reveal the life of God in us. Amen. He wants us to see his life in us. And so, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, to show unto you. What's he doing? He's being a witness. He's saying, I want you to know something. We've seen and handled this life, and we want you to get involved and engaged in this life as well. Isn't that good? Amen. We ought to be excited about that. And so he's saying, I want you to understand we're bearing witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Basically, you know what they're saying? We want to give you what God gave us. In fact, God wants us to have what he gave to them. So verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, that you might have the same experience, the same involvement with God. And then he clarifies this. He says, and truly, this fellowship that he's talking about, that he wants us to have with him, this fellowship really, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You're going to come into this relationship that we're in, but truly the real relationship is that one that we have with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. That brings us into that relationship with all the saints. Amen? That brings us into relationship with all the faithful, all those who've experienced the Lord in a positive way, like Daniel. He's not talking about people like Judas. He's talking about people like Peter. Amen. He's talking about Peter, like people like the Apostle John and all the disciples that followed the Lord. Did they have ups and downs? Sure they did. But God says, listen, I want you to know I'm going to take you. As long as you'll trust me and look to me, I'm going to take you where I want you to be. You're not going to bring yourself there. We can't do it. God has to be the one that takes us to this place. So, as we consider this, let's consider the purpose, the second thought, of a faithful witness. What is that? And these things write we unto you, why? That your joy might be full. God does not want, listen. How about this, ready? Hey, can you tell me something about George Janshall? Oh yeah, save it. We'll just save it. Don't do that for me, okay? But wait a minute. If that's our life, oh boy, oh this, oh that, oh my, are you a Christian? Oh yeah, you want me to tell you about Jesus? No, save it. You kidding me? If you got it is contagious at all, keep it. Amen? Listen, God didn't say that we wouldn't have difficulties and trials, but God did say that he would be there in the midst of them to help to overcome them, that we might rejoice in the midst of those trials, that we might see God's intervention in those difficulties and trials. That's the difference that God has given to the believer that the lost person doesn't have. And so when we're in the midst of a trial, that is a perfect opportunity to call upon the Lord. It amazes me how believers professing to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and let me ask you, are you praying about it? You're into a difficulty. You're into a hard situation. I guess I should probably do that. Well, what happened in the good times? You should have been doing that and praising God for the good. You see what happens? Listen, it is easy. I want to say this. It is easy to get so caught up in life that we leave little to no room for God. Ever been there? It can happen. You can get so busy that you don't have time for prayer. And you know, the saying is true. If you don't have time for prayer, you're too busy. Amen. You think of life, it's going to end. What's really going to matter are only the things that are done for Christ. All these other things this whole world is going to burn up. People are thinking, well, I'm going to leave a legacy. For how long? You know, I don't know if it's going to be there in the new earth. Amen. And the new kingdom, all those things I think are going to be gone. Everything's going to be brand new. And so let's give our time and our effort to the one who loves us and gives us real purpose to this life and the life to come. So he says, I want you to know these things write we unto you that your joy might be full. Now, here's an important question. Because if we have to answer this in order to move forward, do we believe that? Do we really believe that these things were written for us that we might have joy and that it might be full? Amen? So believe that. That's the word of God. Believe it even if you don't feel it, because it's still true, is it not? It does, whether we feel something or not does not determine whether it's real or not. You can wake up one day and just not be feeling good. That doesn't mean that you've not been given eternal life. That doesn't mean that you don't have eternal hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have that truth to rejoice in. We're still a child of the King, and we can rejoice in that. And it honors the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you're my Savior. I thank you, Lord, that you are even my healer and that you're even the fixer of my problems. I can come to you and depend on you because you are everything to me. And that can only take place, that can only come to that resolve or that resolution, really, as we walk with the Lord and call upon him and experience him. I don't know, Miss Carol would know, and if you have anything to do with music, and I have very little to do with music, you can probably tell that, but anyway, so you have a chord progression, and if you've ever, you could even have a three chord progression, and I might have this wrong, maybe like G, C, and D, so G might be the beginning. That would be your key that you're in, GC. But it doesn't feel like it's over. It just feels like there's something until you hit the last resolve chord. Amen. It kind of goes into a complete circle. It starts and then the song has to have an ending. Amen. That's called the resolve, where it all comes together. And you know what? Listen, the resolve in your life and mine as a believer is Jesus Christ. He's the one that puts it all together. And if we walk through this world without having that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no resolve, there's no completeness. There's no satisfaction. We're just kind of, you know, without the Lord in our lives, there's just real no real purpose to life, and no real fulfillment and no real satisfaction on this side of eternity without the Lord. And so he says, please don't forget what life really is all about, and that is our relationship, that fellowship, as we saw in verse 3, with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what brings joy and purpose for a faithful witness to God. All right, now, let's consider the last thought here, and that's the credibility of a faithful witness, this relationship of a faithful witness. That's what he's talking about. You and I cannot be a witness of God for God if we're complaining all the time. You can't. You don't do him any favors, right? If you were, I don't want to say applying for a job, but if you wanted somebody to give you a recommendation and you had two people that you knew that could give you a recommendation, one was positive and upbeat and the other one was negative and down, would you choose the one that was negative and down? You'd be afraid. What are they going to... And even if they said everything right, their demeanor would give off a negative vibe, wouldn't they? I don't want to be known as a negative individual. And by the way, let me ask you this. Is God negative? No. He's positive. But what a crying shame for us to profess to be God's people and we're negative. Right. Well, are we being a faithful witness to God about his being positive? No, we're not. And so these things are vital and they're important. Now, I do want to qualify and clarify something here, and that is we are not to fabricate it. We're not to make it up. We're not to sit there and just put a smile on our face because we're supposed to be happy. God wants to give us his joy. It's got to come from him. It has to be real. You ever heard that expression before? Will you just be real? Amen. Just be real. God wants us to be real and genuine with him. He doesn't want us just to smile because we're supposed to smile, but he does want us to seek him so that he'll give us a smile. Amen? He'll give us joy, his joy that the world doesn't understand. All right, so verse 5, this is the credibility of a faithful witness or the relationship of a faithful witness. Verse 5 says, this then is the message. Did you get that? This is the message. If you want to know what, this is the message. This is the important thing, which we have heard of him and declare unto you, listen, here's the message, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. That's it. Did you get it? That's the message. Did you believe that message? Amen. Is that the truth? Amen. God is light and in him is how much darkness?
Zero.
Zero. No darkness. All right. Are you a child of the King? Yeah. Okay. Are you sure? In God, there's no darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Are you a child of the King? Amen. Got me a little concerned there. Okay, anyway. All right. Now, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, this is important. He's not talking about being saved. He is talking to saved people. I do want to clarify that. But he is talking about if you have that relationship with him, that you have that back and forth with him, that you are meeting with God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, the truth is not taking place in our lives. Isn't that the truth? If we are walking in dark, he's speaking to believers, is he not? Do you know why he's telling them this? Because you and I have the potential to walk in darkness as a saved child of God. We have the potential to seek out the things that bring darkness and death and despair in our lives. The devil will lie to you and say, oh, you know how he works. Do this. You'll like this for a season. And then there'll be death and despair and there'll be no peace. He's the liar. He's the deceiver. So, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, that's an if, right? Do you remember the if? If you're sick and you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you some medicine, now, if you take this medicine, you'll get better. If you don't, then you won't. Amen. That's just the way that it works. So it's contingent on whether or not we're willing to believe what God's prescription is and follow that. All right. So he says again, this verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So let me back up. Verse 6 again. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And there's a colon there. But if we walk in the light, if as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, this is the abiding in Christ. Did you see that? There, and look at verse 5. Then this is the message, watch this, which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. So he's saying there's a contingency here. In other words, all of the promises of God are based upon whether or not you walk by faith, trusting God to do this in your life. See, listen, is this faith? God, I hope you deliver me someday. I hope, oh God, won't you deliver me? Is that faith? Or God, I praise you. Amen. You have delivered me. I'm going to walk in the light of that truth. But if we say, oh, you don't know, I have tried. What does that mean? Who are you looking to if you've tried? You're looking to I, haven't you? Aren't you? I've done it too. I've done it. Listen, so the good news is God says, get your eyes off yourself because you'll never do it. Get your eyes on the one who never fails. Amen? He never fails. All right. So how do we do this? Let's do something. You're right here in 1 John. Go to chapter 2, verse 24. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Watch this. This gets good here. And we're going to wrap this up real quick. And I'll give you a little homework assignment to put together here with this. You'll like that. All right, ready? Verse 24 of 1 John chapter 2. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. Did you see that abiding part? He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Remember what he said earlier? And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, right? Jesus Christ. And this is the promise that he hath promised us. Who's that? Who's he? God. Amen? That he's promised us even eternal life. This is the promise. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. They're trying to lure you away. They're trying to get you to believe something different. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Is that the truth? Who's that? That's the Holy Spirit in you, right? So if you're saved, you've got to believe what God is saying and stop believing what you're telling yourself, because every man is a liar. You can lie to yourself. The world will lie to you, and surely the devil is the father of lies. He'll lie to you too. All right? Verse 27 again. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you, that's the Holy Spirit, of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Oh, look at that word abide again. Amen. Abide. Let's ask God every day, Lord, tell me more about abiding in you. Boy, God, I want to abide more and more with you. Amen? And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Did you see that? God is telling us that we will have no cause for shame if we just abide in him. And I've got news for you. Ready? Here it is. Ready? If you're saved, you're already in Christ. You just have to have the Lord reveal to you what it means to abide and walk. See, that's the most important thing, is our personal walk and relationship in abiding in Christ. And that's what changes our whole outlook in life. That's what puts the skip in our step, the joy on our face. It's not fabricated. It comes, I'm in Christ. Amen? I'm in Christ. Do you know what that means? That means he will enable me to bear the fruit of the Spirit as he sees. He's going to bear his. I'm just a branch. I'm just holding on to the vine. That's it. In fact, listen, I don't even have to hold on. I'm connected. I'm connected. I don't even have to do anything. You ever see, you ever go out to a grape vineyard? You ever see the vines hanging on to the branch? Or the branches hanging on to, you ever see hands holding on? No, they're connected. You have to literally cut them off if you want to separate them. And guess what? In Christ, no one gets cut off. No one gets cut off. We're saved in the Lord. And now all we have to do is just believe, have faith, trust God's word that you're in him. Stop walking in unbelief. Ask God, Lord, I don't want to walk in unbelief. Call upon the Lord in these things. Take a few moments every day and talk to God and allow him to bring you into his presence. And spend, don't time yourself, just a few moments. Don't, listen, it ought to be a joy. So get together with the Lord and spend some time. Let him take you as far as, listen, if you will do that every day, you will find that God will take you further than you expected to go that day in his presence and in communion with him. That's the joy of the Lord, getting into that personal relationship through prayer. You listen, you can't skip prayer and expect God's blessings. You can't skip the word of God and expect, that's how God communicates to us, through prayer and through his word. Listen, prayer and the word of God ought to be the important thing in our lives. The important thing in our lives. All right, here's the homework assignment, because we don't have time tonight. But I want you to you can write this down. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 18. That goes along with this message. We don't have time. I was going to try to read it to you tonight. But you will appreciate that. You will like that. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 18 will give you a... It all ties in together with how God is abiding in us and we in him, and how he wants to bless and fulfill our lives for his honor and glory and our blessing. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you so much for all that you have given to us. Lord, may we not just miss it, Lord, by just being preoccupied with so many other things. May we consider our prayer time and your word of the utmost of important time, that we look to you every day and call upon you to guide us deeper into a deeper relationship with you, that we become more committed because of what you reveal to us through your word and through your spirit as we call upon you. May we not neglect such a great salvation that you've given to us. May we be wide awake and seeking you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. And Lord, if that's not the case, may we call upon you, Lord, to do that in our hearts, to give us a heart for you and your righteousness. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.